Fill the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus that we might have life. Today we come as your people to celebrate life in Jesus Christ. We call ourselves followers of Jesus. We pray that you might help us today, that you see in our hearts there is a great desire to love you, to obey you, and to follow you wherever you lead us, as a church and in our individual lives. We thank you, Lamb of God, Lord Jesus Christ, for your great sacrifice, the final sacrifice for our sins. Now, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved from their sins and live a life of joy and victory. Hallelujah. In the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning on Easter. Good to see all of you who are here with us. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you. And may the Lord bless you. And we hope that you're having a wonderful time on Easter with your family and all the rest that will be going on perhaps today or has been this past week. If you have your Bible, find your place in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you don't have your Bible, that's all right. I've put on the screen for you the two primary verses that I want us to talk about today. I want you to also look with me, if you have your Bible, at 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Peter is one of the early followers of Jesus Christ. He saw him raised from the dead. He saw him in his most difficult hours. He saw him raised from the dead. He is one of the eyewitnesses. John the Apostle, we're reading from John's Gospel. It's called Gospel. Gospel means good news. John is another eyewitness who followed Jesus, who stood at the cross, saw him die, saw the empty tomb, and saw him alive and ascended to heaven, just like Peter. So these two men are going to speak to us today about a very important truth that I want us to think about today. First, let's read it together. Jesus now is alive from the dead. By the way, he's alive today. He's living. The Lord Jesus is as alive as we are today, with a glorified human body, ascended to a place called heaven beyond time and space, in a marvelous place that the Bible teaches us about, that all who believe in him will go to that place called heaven. But here's one of these appearances for 40 days before Jesus ascended, that is, bodily, was just taken up out of their sight into the clouds and beyond time and space into heaven. What a miraculous thing. They saw it. They witnessed it. Well, during those 40 days, this is one of those appearances that Jesus came to make with his disciples. They were discouraged. Most of them couldn't believe that Jesus was alive. The reality of that just shocked them. They never quite understood. Jesus said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to be raised. When he said raised, I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. So we read these words, beginning in verse 25, John 20, 25. So the other disciples were saying to him, in fact, we should go back to verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Another appearance, Thomas wasn't there. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. We've seen him with our eyes. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors were shut, and Jesus came and stood in their midst. And what does the Lord say? As he says every time, he says this to our church today, peace be with you. See, the peace of God comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of our troubles today, church, in all of our difficulties, in all of our worries, in all of our anxiety, the Lord says to us, peace be with you. Maybe that's what you came to church to hear. That's a good thing. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. He touched him and he worshiped. And Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, have you believed? Is your belief based on seeing me? Is the question of Jesus. Blessed are they who did not see me and yet believed. Speaking about disciples even who were not in the room, who had not yet seen Jesus raised from the dead. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And then Peter, thinking about these words, I'm convinced of this, over in his letter to the Christians, he says, talking about our faith. You know, as you're living in the world, you're tested. Your faith is tested by all the circumstances and troubles that come in your life. And so our faith is proved by what we go through in our hard times. That proves whether you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to read 1 Peter 1:7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's the verse, and I believe it's here on the screen. And though you, he's writing to Christians now. This is for you if you're a believer. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. So always I give this focal truth. This is what I'm talking about. All of my comments are around this, what I call the focal truth. Lots of things we could talk about, but we only have time for one. Here's the point. Faith in Jesus Christ is believing in the one we have not seen. Faith in Jesus Christ is believing in the one we have not seen. This is an audacious, unbelievable statement, but it's the fact of Christianity. For now, well over 2,000 years, those of every mark and brand and denominational background who truly are believers in Jesus Christ, they have believed in someone they've never seen with their eyes. But you see, this is the trouble with some of our friends who will not believe. They say, well, look, I'm like Thomas. I'm in the Thomas group. I need to see Jesus with my eyes, and I need to touch him, and then I'll believe that he's so and he's real. But that's not the way it works. So I have four observations I want to make. I'll make them quickly. And I'm so glad for all the boys and girls who are here. And thank you, boys and girls. You listen better than the grown-ups, and I appreciate that. I hope the grown-ups will listen as well as you do. And perhaps you can talk about this today when you go to lunch. It'd be good. So what am I saying? Faith in Jesus. If you say you're a believer, that's what we say, believer. That's the word we use all the time for what it means to be a Christian. Christian is a little worn out in our culture and used in a lot of ways, but believer. Who do you believe in? Who have you put your trust in? Who do you count on when you're getting ready to die and in your death and beyond the grave? Who do you trust and who do you believe? Well, faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ is believing in the one we've not seen. Number one, faith in Jesus is not seeing and believing. Or I could add, seeing, touching, and then believing. Faith in Jesus Christ is not seeing, touching, and believing. Faith in Jesus Christ begins when we hear and believe. Not see and believe, but when we hear and believe. Number two, faith is loving. Faith is loving Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is loving Jesus whom we have not seen. Faith in Jesus Christ is believing in Jesus Christ whom we've not seen. And faith in Jesus Christ is rejoicing in Jesus Christ, whom we have not seen. This is what Peter adds to this great blessing. So we are among those, the vast majority of the Christian church for all these centuries now. I'm saying it, you should be shocked. Over 2,000 years, the Lord has tarried in coming so that no one would have to be unsaved from any generation. He's now tarrying even in these days, but now for well over 2,000 years. We join those of us who are true believers in Jesus Christ, not just religious people who use all the code words. True believers in Jesus Christ have believed in a Lord Jesus that we've never been able to see with our eyes. Thomas had to see it to believe it. I'm back in John 20. And yet it's interesting here that we learn that faith is not the result of seeing, it's the result of hearing. Here's what the Bible says. Faith comes by, are you ready? How do I get faith? How do I have the ability to believe God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words concerning Christ. That is, the words that we read in this wonderful book. All of this record from the book of Matthew all the way through the book of Revelation called the New Testament. For some of you may not be as familiar. I don't know the condition of everyone here today. All of these words, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they start with these eyewitness accounts. They're all different because all of us see things uniquely as eyewitnesses. And so all of these eyewitness accounts tell us about what they heard Jesus say, what they saw Him do, and how they experienced Him being raised from the dead and ascending to heaven. Someone says, oh, if I could just hear Jesus preach, I'd believe in Jesus. Oh, if I could just see the miracles that Jesus did, I'd believe in Jesus. If I could just have Jesus take care of some of the problems and circumstances in my life, I'd believe Jesus. I want to remind you that many people saw, heard, and even experienced miracles from Jesus when He was alive on the earth, and they did not believe. That does not give you faith, just seeing what someone does. No, faith comes by hearing. You see, once upon a time, many of us in this room, I was a little 9-year-old boy, and the preacher was preaching about Jesus, and I continued to hear him preach about Jesus. And he talked about sin, and he died for sin, and I knew I had sinned. I was a 9-year-old boy. I lied to my mother and father a lot of times. I had 4 sisters. They were all terrible, and I did terrible things to them. And I was bad. And I didn't cooperate, and I didn't do what my mother and father, even when I was disciplined, I was very rebellious and stubborn. I knew it as a 9-year-old boy. I knew that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And the preacher kept talking about being a sinner, and I would talk to my parents about this, and I realized I need to believe in Jesus. And so as I heard when I went to church and as I heard from my parents, I heard about Jesus and that He died for my sins. He would forgive me of my lying. He'd forgive me of my stealing. I did go down to the store and I stole things at the store. I know some of you boys and girls think, what kind of preacher do we have? I'm a sinner saved by grace preacher. And I had to come before Jesus and I heard what the Bible said about it. That's called the gospel. The good news is I can be forgiven of my sins no matter what my age, how old I am, how long it's been, how long I've lived in sin, and I believed in Jesus. And He changed my life, and I believed in someone I'd never seen. The same's true for every true believer that I'm speaking to today. What's interesting is, you see, Thomas made his big speech. I'm not going to believe unless I touch Him and see Him. When the Lord comes back 8 days later and Thomas was there, interesting, Peter didn't run up and tell him. Andrew didn't run up and tell him, by the way, did you know that Thomas doesn't believe in you unless he touches you? All of a sudden, the Lord just goes right over to Thomas and says, here, touch me. That means, are you listening now? Even though I have believed in the one I do not see, the one I cannot see is with me all of my life. He's invisibly present in my life. You see, this is why it's important for me to remember as a Christian what I say when I think no one's listening. By the way, if you have little kids, they're always listening. And they tell people what you say. I hope you know that. When I think no one else is around and I'm doing things I ought not to do, and the Lord sees what I'm doing. The Lord understands what I'm doing. You see, though I cannot see the Lord, He is with me all the time. This is quite a remarkable truth. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, though, what does it do? You hear it and you believe it. Faith in Jesus is not seeing and believing, it's hearing and believing. And if you're here and you're born again, as we call it, if you're a true believer in Jesus, you heard the good news that Jesus died on the cross. He was crucified and was buried according to the Scriptures, and on the third day He rose again. You've taken that and you've believed it. You believe what the Bible says, and now you've become one of those believers. So what happens? What happens when I believe in Him? Well, this is where Peter picks up. Quickly, I say it to you, and I'll be brief. When we believe in Jesus, you know what happens? We love Jesus. You don't have to go to a class at church and say, now, you know, you want to know more about Jesus. One of the things you should really try to do is love Jesus. No, you. When you first come to know Jesus, you love Jesus. You don't understand it, but all of a sudden, when the church starts singing about Jesus, you want to sing about Jesus. When the preacher or the teacher talks about Jesus, or you read your Bible and you read these things about Jesus, it warms your heart. You have an affection and a desire for Jesus. You love Jesus. Look, this is a mark of being a true believer, is what Peter's saying. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. How can you love someone you've never seen? That's actually a very good question. Well, because something's happened on the inside. All of a sudden, I'm changed. I'm a new person, and my affections and my desires, listen, are toward someone I cannot see. And our friends who do not know Jesus think we've gone crazy. We love and we're focused on someone we cannot see. We love Him. And the Lord Jesus said, here's how you can mark whether you love me. Are you listening this morning? If you are here and you say you love God, number one, you do what Jesus said. You pray for your enemies. You bless those who curse you. You turn the other cheek. You do not retaliate. You're a peacemaker. You're one who, if somebody asks for something, you just keep giving. And giving. Well, no, that's the last. No, you keep giving. You keep giving. And if it's not enough that they want your coat, you give them your shirt, you give them whatever. Give it. Give it. Here it is. Here it is. I'm quoting from what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Every Christian in this room ought to know it. Do you love Jesus? Do you obey Him? Do you love Him more than anyone in the world? Listen, these are the demands of Jesus I'm telling you about today. Demands! The Lord doesn't give like some happy suggestions and, oh, it would really be cool if you wanted to be one of those cool guys and kind of go by the suggestions of Jesus. These are demands. If you call Him Lord, that means He's boss and He gives the orders. So this is another one of His orders. If any person wants to follow me, they must hate their father and mother, their brothers and sisters, and their own life, and take up their cross and follow me. We always want to hurry up and explain that away. The point is, your love for the Lord Jesus is greater and makes all of your love for others appear like hatred because you so supremely love Jesus. I'm asking those of you here today, I'm not worrying about talking about people who didn't come today to celebrate Easter, why they didn't, and get on them and fuss about it. I'm talking about everybody who says, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus? Do you desire Him? You see, if you love somebody, you desire to be with them. There's a desire in your heart to be around them. You desire them. I love that person. I desire them. You praise them. If you love somebody, you praise them. You tell them the wonderful things they do and who they are, and you encourage them with your words. If you love somebody, you desire them. You praise them. If you love somebody, you trust them. the wreckage of marriages all over this country is based upon the fact that people lie and break their word. And where there was trust in a marriage, which is the ultimate, when you love somebody, you trust them and you trust their word. When that word is broken, it devastates families and the children of those families. You see, when I love the Lord Jesus, I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I put an effort into loving this one I cannot see. And I'm not ashamed of it, and I don't care what the world thinks. You see, when you love Jesus, it's like saying this: no one is before Him, no one compares to Him, and no one is greater than Him. Here's what the Bible says: as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Someone says, what is it about the Christian life that's most special? It's that warming relationship with the Lord Jesus that cannot be explained unless you are a saved person in this world. Unless, like the Lord had to say to a church, you've lost your first love. Who do you love first today? What do you love the most? What is it in your life that drives you? Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. You know, Peter says something interesting here. He talks about time. He talks about this matter of the little while. You know, Jesus talked about it. He says here that we're rejoicing even though for a little while, this is 1 Peter 1:6, we're distressed by various trials. This room is filled with people who are under stress. Don't do the church thing of, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. When everything in your life's falling apart. Don't be a liar when you go to church. Every person in this world, in this room, has stress just like every person in this world. Stressed by the world. And living in the little while. You know what the little while is? The little while is until we can see Jesus, literally see Him in heaven. The experience of seeing Him. And oh, by the way, the Lord is coming back to this world, and everyone, pagan sinners who care nothing about Jesus, everyone will see Jesus. There's some seeing that's coming, but you're living in the little while, aren't you? The little while's hard. The little while's filled with trials, but you see, we believe this is important. This is for you today. Not only do I love Jesus, but I believe what He said to me is true. His promises are what you feed on. His promises are what you survive on in your little while. You may be in a bubble today. You may think, well, everything in my life is perfect. Just wait a while, the bubble will pop. The struggles will come. You'll have to make some hard choices. You'll make some bad choices. You'll make some good choices. Nevertheless, you're in the little while. All of life seems topsy-turvy, like you're in a tumble dryer. You can't seem to get a hold of anything. The water's coming in the boat, whatever metaphor you want to use. Everything's falling apart in the little while, but all you've got in the little while are the promises of Jesus. You love Jesus during the storms in the little while, and you believe Him. Do you? Look, it has to be put to the test. The only way you can know if you really believe in Jesus in the little while when you don't see Him is through the troubles that come in your life. Someone said to me, Pastor, I didn't have all these troubles. I could believe in Jesus. No, you won't. You won't do it. We trust in Jesus not when it's easy, but when it's hard. You see, believing Jesus' words without doubt, as best we can, is our way forward. Believing in His invisible presence as we walk our way, and He says, listen, the last thing He said as He ascended, as He blessed those disciples, this is for us. This is for this generation.
I am with you. You just can't see me. I am with you. You just can't see me.
Just because you cannot see Him does not make the Lord Jesus' presence unreal. Finally, faith is rejoicing. I love the Lord. By the way, do you believe Jesus? Look, right now, you could list down as you leave this place, you're going to get out of this place and you're going to go back to the little while of your pains and sorrows. You're going to believe Jesus in? Well, you see, the one who believes in the one they cannot see loves Him. Looks forward to time with Him, prays, spends time alone with Jesus. This isn't just for like special people like preachers and missionaries who go off and have their time with the Lord every day. No, the Lord said, if you follow me, you go get in your secret place and you open your Bible and you pray and you read and you speak to me. And you say such things as, when you pray, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever. Amen. We pray. We speak with the Lord. We learn. We come to church so that we might learn. I ask you this about the importance of loving Jesus, but here's the other thing. Do you follow Him? You know, there's joy in it. When the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, they had joy. They were following Him. They were with Him. Peter says here, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. That's not for heaven, though heaven will be a joyful place. This is for here. Now, what's happening here? Why is it that it seems to me that the Christian world seems to be so miserable? And by the way, joy doesn't mean that you just walk around with a big fake smile on your face all the time. You know, crazy looking. Out of your mind. Like you're crazy. Joy doesn't mean a crazy smile. The actual word joy has in it, listen, this is for you now. Here's what joy is. Joy is a calm assurance. That'll help you now. Joy is a calm assurance. These disciples were very afraid, but the Word of God says, as the Lord Jesus was ascending out of heaven, they weren't down on the ground begging, pleading, come please, come back, come back. Why are you leaving us? Oh, wah, 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 boo. No. After they worshiped Him as He ascended, they returned to Jerusalem, the very place where the Lord was crucified, with great joy. Calm assurance now took hold of the church. And then the Holy Spirit of God came. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes in our lives when we're saved, He gives you, when the storms are raging, calm assurance. Joy. The Word of God says over and over in the book of Acts, the disciples were continually filled with joy. When I think about our church, are we a church filled with calm assurance in the midst, Brother Jeff, he said it, a hand-wringing world. The world is worried. The world is troubled. The infection of worry spreads into the church, gets all in our minds. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, right now, oh, if Jesus was here right now, yes, but He's not, then believe Him and rejoice with joy inexpressible, a calm assurance. I've told the story to this church many times. John Wesley comes to America to be a missionary. He wasn't even a saved man. He was a religious man from an Anglican background. He went through all the rules and methods. He could pray, did all the quiet times and all the things we'd call it. But he was over here in Georgia, down in Georgia, and he was a miserable mess. He didn't do it right. Got on the ship to go home. The storm came up. We don't understand this. I mean, there's not any of us who, you know, in our right mind would say, I think I'm going to get on a wooden vessel and go across the Atlantic. Well, he did. And while they're out in the middle of the the Atlantic going toward England, it's a bad storm. And if some of you know this because you've been on the sea, a bad storm in the sea, you know, there's nowhere to go. You can't dock the boat. You're in it. The storm was a terrible one. And the sailors and the captain and others were fearful. But there were a group of Christians called Moravian Brethren. And they were in the middle of the ship deck in the pouring rain and the water splashing over, singing hymns and praying to Jesus. Which one is you? Are you like John Wesley today? It's just gotten too crazy. You don't know what to do. You don't know if you can make it. Terror and fear gripping your life. Or, I can't see Him, but I love Him. And I love Him dearly. I can't see Him, but I believe what He said. And I'm going to believe it even if it costs me everything, including my life. And I am going to live in the calm assurance of peace in knowing Jesus. What does the world need to see? That. Real believers. That's what they need to see. They don't need us to try to be cool like they are. They don't need us to be like we can talk all their language. They don't need us to try to act like them so we can get them to come with us. They won't. We'll just get like them. They need to see we love someone who's unseen. We give our money. We sacrifice our time. We go places in the world. Why would anybody get on a plane? We're going to have a group of men go and they're going to put on backpacks and they're going to trek. They're going to walk on mountain roads all across Southeast Asia. Why in the world would they do that? Because people need to hear about the one they cannot see. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear unless one is sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look, am I describing how you live today? Well, if not, there are one of two reasons why you're in that condition. Number one, you're really not a Christian. You're not a believer. You may have grown up, we got a problem in Middle Tennessee, just like where I grew up in Oklahoma, across this whole part of the country. We know a lot of Jesus words, a lot of Jesus talk. We know all about, you know, mom and daddy did it, granddaddy, mama, you know, the whole deal. It's called potato salad Christianity. You know, it's like we got a little of this, a little of that. We all know a few words. And, oh, I'm okay with Jesus. But have we really surrendered and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might be new people, surrendering our wickedness and sin and accepting Jesus Christ? And then love starts, a new love relationship. We sing songs, and while you get up here, look at some of these people in the choir. They look like an absolute wreck. They're up here crying and carrying on because they love Jesus. Jeff didn't make them cry. The music wasn't bad to make them cry. They're crying because they love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Have you believed in Him? And do you live believing in Him? And is there in your life a calm assurance that, look, nothing can take away? When you live in the joy of the Lord, are you ready? Is our strength. Joy comes and give strength, calm assurance when it's all falling apart. What do we remember today? Faith in Jesus comes when you hear the good news. You'll never become a Christian unless you hear and believe. Maybe you're listening right now for the first time. Maybe today God will open your ears and you'll hear. I really need to turn from my sin, surrender my life to Jesus, and follow Him, not everybody else. Whatever it costs. Did you know that belonging to Jesus requires that you believe that Jesus Christ is alive today? Did you know that? The only way you can be saved is to believe that Jesus Christ is truly alive today. Not just believe a list of doctrines. See, this is interesting. Everybody's worried about, well, do you believe this? Do you believe this? What? Let me quote to you from the Bible. Romans chapter 10. If you confess Jesus as Lord, boss, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, those who follow Jesus, the one that we cannot see, believe that He is alive, though we have not seen Him, though we've experienced His presence with us here. He has ascended to heaven gloriously in His body, and He will return. He is now our high priest, and He is seated as the King of the world. Now, you really want to get your lost friends to laugh? Just tell them that next time you're eating tacos with them. While all they're telling you about all the world and they're giving you current events and all talking about worrying this about this and that and other, you'd say, well, you know, Jesus is King over all of this. And everything that's happening in the world is accomplishing what He wants to do, not what any politician wants to do. This is how Christians talk in a world of people who have no joy, who have no faith, who have nothing to love. You see, I end with these words that when you believe in the Lord Jesus, as I put here on the screen, endless life comes to those who believe in the Lord Jesus. I often use this illustration because it's been so true in my life and I never thought I would. So when I stood before the doctor 2 years ago, he says that you have cancer and he tells you how many days you have to live and all the rest. Then he waits for your response. We all wonder about this, but you see, you don't have to go to the doctor and have somebody tell you you're going to die. You might as well listen to Pastor Mike. You're all going to die. And some of us are going to die before others. But you see, when you die, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you don't die. Your body goes into the ground, but you're still alive. You have endless life. You don't stop living. You actually go into the glorious time of heaven. You have endless life. Why do I worry? Why do I fret if I have endless life? This is for the church today on Resurrection Sunday. The Lord Jesus said, and as I finish, I'll just quote it again to you. What did we just hear the Lord say? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And Peter said, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. You love Him. You believe in Him. And you rejoice with inexpressible glory to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know what the outcome of your faith is? Endless life. Praise the Lord. To the praise of the glory of His grace, I assure you today, based on the promise of Jesus, you want to count on somebody's words? You want to count on somebody who never lied? You want to count on somebody who backed it up by dying for His words? You want to count on somebody who's resurrected and alive today and is looking across all of our lives, looking. You see, the Word of God looks at us all and divides between. He sorts out the motivations in our life. Look, this isn't just a holiday. This is a holy day. Jesus is alive. He's looking into our hearts to see whether we really, truly mean what we say. And we live with joy in the midst of all the little while of troubles till Jesus comes again, or we die and go immediately to be with Him. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord is near the door. He's about to come through the door into this world, and we pray, come, Lord Jesus.